Welcome to today's Higher Ed Tech Podcast. I'm Tim Van Norman, the instructional technologist here at Irvine Valley College.
And I am Brent Warner, professor of ESL here at IVC. We both enjoy integrating technology in the classroom, which is what this show is all about. So today we're going to be talking about how to communicate effectively with your instructional technologist. And in our case, that's Tim, you're going to be guiding us through. And then we're also going to be continuing our series on quizzing, and today we're going to be talking about quizzes.
Welcome. We're glad you're here with us. So Brent, what's going on for you?
Well, yesterday I decided to turn on Zoom for my digital office hours and give that a try, and you helped me out with that a little bit, quite a bit actually, just some sampling and working through, and so I think we'll talk about that in a future show, but it's kind of cool, so I can, my students don't necessarily have to come to my office to come and talk to me during office hours.
Yeah, it's nice. It also allows that extra communication and quick insight and stuff. You can share screens, all kinds of stuff. So
yeah.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear you're using that.
We'll definitely get more in depth in that in the future. But for now, let's jump right into it. Okay, so Tim, we want to talk about talking to your instructional technologist. Now, you are the instructional technologist here at Irvine Valley College, but I think the first thing that maybe confuses a lot of people who are not totally savvy with all of these things is, what is the difference between the IT department and the instructional technologist? Or is there a difference?
That's a great question. And they both, often people say IT for both. So that's a great question. The instructional technologist is responsible for working with technology that's used for instruction.
Okay.
The IT department is for technology that's used across campus, no matter what.
Now, the IT in the IT department is also
information technology.
Okay.
So, instructional technologist, information technology, they even sound very similar.
Right.
So, and in fact, some instructional technologists are in the IT department. Some are in other departments and stuff like that. But it's a technology base for both of them. But the computers that you use in your classroom, the computers that you use in your office, your telephone, stuff like that, that's going to be information technology.
Okay.
Okay. The Canvas, your LMS, your tools that you use in the classroom, the software, things like that, that kind of sometimes is a mix, but often that falls under the instructional technologist. So.
Okay. So can we loosely think software is instructional technologist? And
the easiest way to separate them is, if you're going to use something for like a web enhanced part of your class, mm-hmm. or anything like that, that's definitely instructional technologist.
Okay.
If you are having trouble with a computer, hardware, even like Microsoft Office on your computer, something like that, that's the IT department.
Okay. All right.
Now, like in my case, I actually work in the IT department, so
right.
I get both, but it is separate in a lot of different places. So it's good to know the difference and have a little bit of a distinction.
Okay, so we have a fair idea about the differences between an instructional technologist and information technology, the two ITs, but then we also have an instructional designer. Now, what is that?
So an instructional technologist is, like for me, I'm about making things work.
Okay.
How do I make your class work and function? You don't want to have me make your class look pretty.
Okay.
I don't design classes very well. I can do the work, somebody who's got a design background does a much better job with the user interface and making things look nicer and can clean up a lot of things that, to me, it functions, move on. And so it's kind of like the difference between a web designer and a webmaster.
Okay.
A web designer is the person who you use and you designs your web page. The webmaster is the one who makes everything behind it function.
Okay, so you're talking kind of about, are you talking about the flow of a classroom kind of, or are you talking about the actual visual design, or both?
There's a whole lot of overlap
okay.
between the two. And in fact, most schools have one or the other, and they both perform both functions.
You know, okay.
But A designer is more about, often it's, they'll get into more pedagogy and making sure that your design fits good pedagogy.
Okay.
Versus an instructional technologist often stays outside of the pedagogy. That's not my job, for instance. My job is to make sure that the LTIs function properly, that the students are properly loaded into Canvas, that, you know, all of the functions that make Canvas, or Canvas is specifically one of the major parts of my job, but make your classroom function are there.
Got it. Okay. So basically, you're going to trust me to know what I'm doing in my classroom, right? And you're going to say, hey, Brent, I trust you. You know what you want. You're telling me you want this thing. I'll help you get that thing going.
Right.
Okay.
So you might come to me and say, how can I make this better? But I'm not coming to you typically saying, you need to make this better this way.
Right. Okay. So you're not going to say you need to redesign the layout of your whatever. Or...
Right. I might suggest it.
Sure.
but I'm also often not creating. Sometimes we'll create templates and stuff like that. But often we'll even have a designer come in and do those templates instead of us. Because again, it's we're about making things function rather than making it pretty and all of that.
Okay. So what is it that you do not do? And I let me preface this question a little bit. I know you're kind of hesitant to answer this in the way that I'm trying to ask you, because I know you go out of your way to help everybody who wants help. But I also should point out, I think there's a lot of teachers out there who just go, okay, I have a technology problem. Tim or my IT person, whoever it is, right, is absolutely the person I need to talk to. And I know any work situation, there's the back room and it's like, oh my God, this is not what we do, right? Now, I don't want you to, I'm not asking you to complain about anything, but I guess what we're really looking for is like when people are thinking about like, oh, I need to contact Tim versus what are situations where you can't really do anything?
Well, so there's a couple of different areas on that. Mm-hmm. So let's start with the initial areas, and that is often logging in.
Okay.
When you're having a problem with technology in your classroom, you can't log into your classroom computer, that's not an instructional technologist type job. That's an IT type question.
I feel like that's like 80% of the calls you get. Okay, let's continue. I'll let you roll your eyes elsewhere.
Anyway, once your class has the publisher content established, for instance, if the students are having trouble logging into it, if you're having trouble synchronizing, downloading things, I might be aware of things that I can do, but in the end, realistically, I can't see publisher content.
You're LTI talking about like the integration. So let's say it's like McGraw-Hill Publishing, right, something like that. And the math class is saying, okay, this is integrated right into Canvas. There's content there.
Right.
You can't change the publisher's content.
Well, not only that, but if a student can't log in, there's not a thing I can do.
Because it's the
they can
publisher.
Log into Canvas. And after that point, I'm stuck. You know, as if one student can log in, I'm done.
Right.
Then that means that my configuration is working. So it's things like that that I myself like to get involved in,
right,
so that maybe I can help or guide or something like that. But in the end, most of the time, I have to say, well, here's the phone number. Call the publisher. So that becomes actually kind of a harder one because I don't want to just pass the buck and say, oh, it's publisher, deal with the publisher. On the flip side, there's not anything I can do. So it's on a weekend, if you're having trouble with your classes synchronizing grades, call the publisher. Chances are they've got a button that says synchronize grades that you need to press.
Right.
Or maybe they're having a problem. I won't even know. Publishers often don't contact instructional technologists. I'm encouraging them to. Here, they're starting to contact me more often if they're having problems with things going on with us, so that we can get involved and see where the line actually is. So that's a big one. And basically any LTIs. So learning these, basically, it's kind of like an API for outside of learning. But any addition into Canvas or something like that, I help you get it started. I help you get it in and integrated. And then if you're having account issues, if you're having things like, I'm talking recently with somebody about that half of the people who are using this LTI, it's working perfectly, and another half, it doesn't work at all.
Right.
I'm involved, but there's almost zero I can do.
Okay. Okay. So, and let's just be clear. There might be some people listening saying, what's LTI? What's API? Essentially, you're talking about the integration of outside applications or sources that are linking into Canvas or your
LMS.
Your LMS. Right. So Blackboard or whatever it is. Exactly. Okay. So then in those cases, you might, you know, if the teacher's having trouble, they might need to reach out directly to that company.
Right.
Okay. So that can be
students as well.
Yeah, and absolutely students too. So sometimes, you know, you kind of have to take a look and see where the problem is happening, and if it's something, you know, that might be here as compared to something that's happening on a server in New York City or something like that.
Right. And by the way, that's the same thing for you as a teacher. You don't know why a student can't log into your publisher. Unless something happens to tell you, you don't know either. So it's good. It's an good education to encourage students to find support and give them the number even. But that's, I find that really good for today's college students to actually make the phone call.
Right.
Sometimes it's really good. But so that's on the lines of what types of issues I really can't do anything about. Others, depending on the information, the instructional technologist and where they report, sometimes instructional technologists only work with faculty. So depending on the reporting structure, some may only work with online classes. Some may only work with specific school and not, you know, maybe it's only math or only humanities or something like that. There may be a distinction in what, where they will work and who they'll work with as well. That all depends on the particular college, university, whatever, how it's set up and designed. But so there's always a distinction someplace,
right?
Difference someplace where, as much as we maybe like to help everybody, there's not a whole lot we can do about everybody. Here we do have, I work with students, staff, and faculty, all three, all types of classes. It doesn't matter here. But in other places I know, they actually have a distinction between even students and faculty
right.
when it comes to this type of system.
We're a small enough college that kind of we can walk around and grab each other in some cases, right? So
And like for me, I love this. I love the fact that I'm responsible for that because I think it makes me better at what I do. But it also means that I have less time to work with faculty if I'm also dealing with students.
Spread thin sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So kind of we're going to wrap this up, but I do want to kind of check with what do you think is the best way for people to effectively communicate with their instructional technologist?
Well, first of all, I like it when people bring me questions and ideas.
Okay.
So as you can imagine, there's a huge world out there of possibilities. And I'm not going to research every single one. I can't.
Right.
So what I do is I pick what people ask me about. If you're interested in something, let me know. And I will go out and dig into it. I may ask you questions. There's some people that I've asked, you know, a whole lot of questions on, and other people I go, oh yeah, I've got three other people asking this question. Here's the answer.
Right.
So you don't know what all I'm working on. You can't. There's just too many different things. And so ask me questions, bring me ideas. Hey, I'd like to do online office hours. How can I do that? I can come up with a bunch of solutions. We can discuss this and we can really dig into it. And that's the type of thing that makes both me and you successful and work well.
Yeah. So, okay. So coming in with questions and ideas or kind of a guided idea of where you're trying to get to is a big help for you.
Right. Also, communicate, ask questions about LTIs. Anything that you want, you know, publisher comes to you, oh, we'll give this to you for free. We want it installed. You have to install it in Canvas or in Blackboard or something like that. Talk to us. Okay. Many cases, there's a way you can install it yourself. Most of us would like to be involved in that process because we might have already done it. We might already be considering it. And we might also have some sequence of steps and stuff that we have to go through in order to do it. So keep us on your side. And we want to be on your side. That is our job, is to help you. And so this is a really good way for us to be partners. Ask those questions, bring in the stuff. And there's times when I'm going to have to say no. And usually it's because I've been told no, but there's often things with an LTI or something, an add-in that I can't do. And sometimes it's because of accessibility and stuff. So that's my job, is to pay attention to those things.
I'm going
to
add in one more thing that I'm pretty sure, maybe you're a little too kind to say, but I think being clear with the problem is a big deal too. So you can't just say, hey, last week we talked about Flipgrid. Hey, Tim, Flipgrid isn't working. It's like, okay, at least maybe send in a message saying, hey, these are the things I'm trying to do, and these are the three steps that I took, and I had this specific result, right?
Right.
As clear as they can be, maybe in an email to you or a call to you or whatever it is, instead of just, it doesn't work, fix it, right? Well, did you bang it on the side, right? Did you unplug it and plug it back in? I would suggest to anybody out there listening that if you're trying to get help, if you can narrow down the problem as quickly as possible, I know that the people like you mm-hmm. are going to go, okay, I know where to start with, and that'll save you a lot of time.
Well, and most of the time when you tell me that a student had a problem,
mm-hmm.
my first question is going to be, what's the student's name? And where specifically did they have that problem?
Oh, good. Okay.
And if you can give me those two things and what the problem was, any error messages, anything like that, even just the fact that they got an error, I can do something with that. But if you just say, hey, my students have a problem when they open a assignment. Okay. That's usually where it starts.
Specific assignment name.
What's the assignment name? Yeah. What class it is? Because you might be teaching four different classes. I'm not going to go through every single one of your classes looking for the one assignment that might be. So the more you can give me up front, the shorter the time is that I'm spending working on it, and the better solution you get.
Got it. Okay, well, I hope that these kind of helped you and anybody listening to find some better ways to communicate with your instructional technologist, and hopefully they can reach out and help you out as quickly as possible. All right, so Tim, we were talking a little bit. We want to do a very short segment called the Zippy Tip. We chose this kind of cheesy name because it's just meant to be a fun little quick tip that we can kind of add in something that maybe you or I found in the last week or whatever it is that's interesting and can help some people out. So we're going to start with the Zippy Tip today, and I found the first one. So today's Zippy Tip, I actually heard from some friends of mine that do a different podcast called Check This Out, and it's also EdTech stuff, but it's kind of more the K-12 world. Ryan and Brian, they're out there, and they talked about this one thing called the Egg Timer. It's a website. It's e.ggtimer.com, and you know what an egg timer is, I'm assuming.
Yes.
So basically, this is a simple timer for your browser. But the really cool thing about it is that it puts the timer up into the tab on the top of your browser. So if you've got multiple tabs open, you can go back to whatever it is that you're working on. So hey, I'm working in Google Slides, or I've got a document open, or I'm looking at some website with the class on the projector. But still, the tab at the top can be showing the countdown timer. And so it's a really small and out of the way timer for you to keep track on your activity or whatever it is that you're doing with your students.
Nice.
Yeah, we did test it out though, and we saw that the timer doesn't go off until you hit the little beeping doesn't go off until you hit OK, which whatever, that's its own little thing. But for anybody out there that's looking for a quick and really simple timer that can be kind of easily tucked away on the rest of your browser, go look up Egg Timer. That's e.ggtimer.com.
Nice, thank you. Okay, Brent, last time we were talking about having fun quizzes and stuff like that in Canvas. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, in your classroom. And last time we talked about Kahoot.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we're going to be talking about quizzes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not familiar with this product at all.
Okay.
And I know that we've got a lot of tools that are similar in their overall purpose.
Right.
So what's different about this one?
Okay. So quizzes, and let's be clear about this. I believe, actually, I should probably even double check the spelling because I always get it wrong. It's Q-U-I-Z-I-Z-Z. Okay. So Q-U-I-Z-Z-I. Wait, Q-U-I-Z-I, whatever it is. Quizzes. Quizzes might be a better way to say it. But so quizzes is serving the same purpose overall. There is a... the basic quizzing elements, so the multiple choice answers, and the students can kind of go through everything. But the difference here, the main difference for quizzes compared to Kahoot, is that this one is student-paced. So instead of the teacher, and I said one of the things that I like about Kahoot is that you stop after the question is over and you talk it through. You can't do that in this one because the students are working through the quiz on their devices by themselves at their table or wherever they are. And it's completely student-paced based on their loading or when it loads there. So sometimes one of the problems that teachers have with Kahoot is students say, well, I'm not, you know, my Wi-Fi is not strong, or, you know, my data is not working and I pushed the button, but it didn't recognize me that quickly. And so I lost points, you know, like when they start getting a little too competitive for the game.
Yes.
But here it's all built into their phone. And then at the end, once everybody's done, then it kind of compares and shows how the overall game is going.
So does that mean that the game could actually be asynchronous?
Oh, yeah. So there is a way to assign it for homework. And so then students can sign in. And then so like maybe I do it at, you know, 12 o'clock in the afternoon and you do it at 6 o'clock at night. And our scores could still be compared against each other in this. So you could see how, like, even though we're not doing it the exact same time, our timing and how we answered are still put in the same class information.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool that way. The other nice thing about it compared to Kahoot is that all of the answers are on the device that the student has in hand. So we talked about the students kind of looking up and looking down when they're doing Kahoot. So the answers are up on the screen and then they have to look down and find the spot on their phone or whatever it is. And kind of there's a little bit of, disconnect in that
right
split second that they're changing and where is everything. So everything here, including the answers, are written on the device. So their phone, whatever it is. So the answers A, B, C, D are right there, fully written out. So it's a small thing, but I think for some people it really does make a difference because it lets them stay mentally connected to the work that they're doing.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. It's functional for them, and there's, you know, instead of pulling them out or getting distracted by other things, when you look up and you see, you know, the cute girl or the cute boy on the other side of the room or whatever right. it is, right? It seems silly, but there are these things that happen in class, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's also an option inside of quizzes to memify your responses. So when a student gives an answer, this is kind of the thing that they got their little boom from, was that they had a meme response, like a classic meme or a meme that the company made. And it's like, you know, a picture of... that baby eating sand, that kind of famous picture there. And it's like, you got it. You got this or something. Or if you got it wrong, they might have like the house burning on fire and says, maybe next time, you know, whatever it is. So there are kind of those things. And then also teachers can custom make memes that are responses too. So maybe they have like a relationship with their class and they have kind of an inside joke. They might be able to throw those in there as like their own custom creations and kind of say like, you know, Professor Warner says no in a picture of me with a thumbs down or something like that, right? So that kind of customization and personalization is something that a lot of the teachers and students really like because it gives them the chance to connect it more personally for each of them.
So it sounds like each question, they get immediate feedback on whether they got it right or wrong in a fun way.
Right.
And a way that can... blow up on their screen really fast so that it's not like hidden someplace and, oh, what did I really mean that?
Right.
They get it immediate and an immediate reaction. Excellent.
Right. Yeah. So you can, at the end, after everybody's done and gone through all their answers, then you can go through all of the questions and talk about them and kind of work through the answers with the whole class. But you can't do the pausing in the middle and say, like, let's take a look at this question before we go to question two. So if you're, so I wouldn't necessarily do it in the same way that I do with Kahoot, where I'm like, hey, we're previewing this information, seeing what you know, and talking about it as we're going through it. But it might be, pretty useful for maybe end of class review or, confirming information or whatever it is.
Or even at home review.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely
that,
a home
that
review.
That definitely makes a lot of sense. And Kahoot wouldn't work for that.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't necessarily want to do a full quiz that they take at home.
Right.
This could be a fun way of almost like flashcard type of concept where they can... they can get it and they can move on and move through it.
Yeah. And actually, one of the things that happened with quizzes is that students started getting into it in a way that they started building their own quizzes and sharing them with their own classmates. I guess this was like a kind of like a thing that the company ended up responding to because they're like, oh, wait, all these students are actually creating their own. They're like begging to do the study and stuff. And they found that it's fun for them to do it. So, yeah, there are lots of ways for students to kind of interact with it in that way, too.
Could you have an assignment where students created their own quiz and submitted it as an assignment?
From what I understand, yes. I have not done that, but I've heard that other people are doing that. And so it's like you create the questions, and then we'll take a look at that together, and we'll use that as our review material, or maybe even we'll pull some of those questions out and use them on the actual quiz. So there are lots of ways to interact with it.
Nice.
Yeah. And then also they did release a bunch of new features, new-ish features that are definitely worth playing with. So one, they turned on the option to do polls and surveys and subjective questions, which is to say that there's not a right answer on some of them, but maybe you just want to see how the class is responding overall to something. Mm. So, did you feel like you understood this? Yes, no. And then there's not a right answer, but the teacher could have some idea, right, and they could work with that.
Nice.
They also added math equations and formulas. And so I went in and looked at this, and you can type in the formula. And then they have some of your basic symbols, of course, division and, sine and cosine and those things. But they also had like the symbols that I don't know what they are. You probably know what they are. But like when it went into the advanced, there was like a backwards C with a line through it. I don't know.
Okay.
You know what that is? I don't know what that
actually,
is.
No, that one.
There was a bunch of different symbols and things that are so fairly advanced stuff that students could work with if they want to figure those things out. So math people, I feel like math people maybe all feel like they get left out on the ed tech stuff a lot, like the what's being developed, because it's so hard to show the symbols and so hard for students to work with those things, right, unless they're drawing them out. So I was pretty happy to see that. And then finally, they also have like this whole media section that they added with sound clips. And so you can actually make the quiz questions be some sort of audio. So obviously in my field, ESL, that's really cool. You could do pronunciation stuff, like what sound are you hearing? Are you hearing the minimal pair of the B versus the P sound? But you could also use it in any field that you wanted to. One that came up was maybe music, right? Mm-hmm. Are you recognizing what key this is in or something like that? There could be a lot of different possibilities. The only thing that I did see that there's a 10-second limit to that audio, but I guess that makes sense because you don't want people listening to like 2 minutes of audio before they answer a quiz question.
Not when they're timed.
Right, yeah. So a quick 10-second audio, you can either record it right into the app or you can upload some audio if you have something there too. So some nice. Pretty good stuff.
Nice. So what downsides do you find with it?
Well, as I mentioned, one of the things is that it's student paced, and so you can't break down each question as you're going through it. That to me is something that I really like in Kahoot, and I'm missing it. But, you can deal with that in some ways. And then the other thing is that you lose some of the competitive edge when people aren't pressured to answer in a super short time, right?
That's true. It's hard to compete against nothing.
Yeah. So it's like other people are on their phones or they're on their tablets or whatever. And they're like, they're doing things and you can see that they're moving, but there's no like, hey, Mike's going up there first and now it's John and, right, and now Sarah, whatever it is. Right. So that kind of racing and pressure against each other, which some people thrive on and some people, right, don't. So, it's totally depends on the person and the students, but you do lose a little bit of as you're going through.
That makes sense. So I know a lot of teachers are going to want quizzes to integrate with Canvas. Do you know if it does at this point?
I don't think so. I looked it up briefly and I didn't see anything. I saw that there's requests for it and there's information out there, but it's still, again, one of those low stakes things that you can just have students log into with a number and just say, hey, here's the number for our quiz that we're doing right now. Pop in. And again, I don't know that I would use it for actual points that I put into my assignments, maybe, you know, completed or not completed. But if you wanted to go into the whole, like, hey, this counts as an actual grade for your class, then you would probably have to go put those scores in yourself.
That makes sense. And there's a lot of things that are like that we're going to be going over with regard to these quizzes.
Yeah, and I think that's good for people to know, like, hey, not everything integrates, but there's still value out there for other things too.
Absolutely. Thank you for listening today. In this episode, we talked about what an instructional technologist is and how to work with them. We also continued our series on quizzes and quizzing by talking about quizzes. For more information about this show, please visit our website at thehigheredtechpodcast.com. There you will find our podcasts and links to information we've covered. Please listen next time when we continue our series on game-based quizzes for your classroom by talking about Quizzes Next, also called New Quizzes.
Right. Part of Canvas, right on
part
that
of Canvas,
one.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to be jumping into that. And then, of course, as always, we do want your feedback. So please go to thehigheredtechpodcast.com and let us know your thoughts. If you have any ideas for future shows, there's a link on that page so you can give us some of your topic ideas.
For everyone at IBC that is listening, if you need help with technology questions or you want to talk to your instructional technologist, technology questions are at IVC's tech support at extension 5696. And as your instructional technologist, you can get a hold of me, Tim Van Norman, at tvannorman, VANNORMAN, at ivc.edu.
And if you want to reach out to me about the show, you can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Brent G. Warner.
I'm Tim Van Norman.
And I'm Brent Warner. And we hope this episode has helped you on the road from possibility to actuality. Have a good day.